Hello and welcome back to your one and only source. We are your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we are recapping Gossip Girl Season 2, Episode 7, called
Preda Poor Jay. Seems pretty poor this episode.
No, this is the beginning of the end for little Jay, and it is really abrupt.
I like was trying to figure out if it was a mid-season break, but it seems so early in season two.
Yeah.
For it to have been a full break. So I'm like, did Jailer Momsen just walk onto set one day with her new do?
Literally. And we honestly should, like, maybe in the next episode or when she leaves, we should talk about that. And like, cause she's talked so much about why she left and what was going on and whatever. But it was like a pretty big deal. So that would be like a good thing for us to discuss. But it really is just like overnight. New haircut, new makeup, new everything, new whole freaking attitude. The attitude's the only thing that looks familiar, but I'm just like this, it feels very, very abrupt when it's, I watch it like this.
I feel like they could have used, if they were going to go this hard into it, I think we could have used one more episode that was more Jenny focused. Yeah. Because it, like, also it's kind of jarring how much this episode is about Jenny.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like this is when Taylor Momsen, how much longer do we have Jenny for?
I want to say end of season three, maybe she leaves.
So we have a bit with her.
But I think that she, because it can't be season two. Because
in my brain, if it is
season, she's like not around.
I just wonder if maybe it's so abrupt because this is when Taylor Momsen said she was ready to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what we should look into and talk about because it's like, it was like a weird, unceremonious exit. So it is weird. Like, it does, but it just, yeah, it's crazy. Also, sorry to spoil the end of the episode. Nate, not buying it. Nate, I am not buying this.
Buying what?
What do you mean? What?
His good guy act?
Him throwing down with little Jay on
the
street?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That's true. Especially
they are like
because
aggressively making out.
The whole episode, it is giving big,
good
like it's not giving like what Agnes is seeing and telling Jenny is happening. So it is, you're right. I thought you meant more so like him following her to that apartment.
No. I'm not even saying it's that it's abrupt. I'm saying, Nate, I don't buy that you're into her like this.
I don't either, but also it is abrupt because the whole episode he's like acting like her dad.
No, I know. But I'm like, that's not even what I'm saying I don't buy. Like, I'm not saying I don't buy his feelings. I'm just saying like, hey, writers, I don't buy it. Like, Nate Archibald is not into little Jay in this version of who she is.
He was into her like a season ago when she was dressed like Serena.
Exactly. This is not, but no, we do have her for a minute because we have this whole obnoxious thing.
You're right.
With her and Nate, and I think Nate and Serena get back together. And we have like a whole bullshit, like the mafia game or whatever on the streets. Actually made me want to D-I-E when I watched that. Anyway.
This show is something else.
This show is something else. So we begin, and it seems like Blair and Chuck are doing their thing, which is famously doing their thing in a limo. When I say they're doing their thing, that means that they're doing their thing in a limo. That means that she's doing his thing in a limo.
Ew, stop.
If I say Blair and Chuck are doing their thing. Now, if I say Blair and Chuck are in a limo, that doesn't mean they're doing their thing.
Right, that's true.
I didn't say that. It's and like if I say that they're doing their thing,
square and a rectangle.
That doesn't mean they're doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I say they're doing their thing, it doesn't mean they're in a limo. It's a really important distinction, but it is subtle, so.
I can't believe this show was on network television.
I know.
Like,
I know.
There's fully like his
It really
tongue,
is a nasty piece of work.
His tongue like running, is it running over her leg?
It's bonkers. Yeah. Yes.
Thank God Blair
wakes
up.
This isn't, let's just be real. Last episode we watched Serena basically tricked into making a sex tape, doing coke, and then killing someone on camera. But this is what's pushing the envelope. This is what's making light bulb moment for Phoebe.
No. What's different about this is
not a big deal.
That felt more like the storyline was sinister and was pushing the envelope for sure.
Yeah.
But I just feel like this, we're seeing something much more pornographic. Yeah.
They are very hot and heavy in this ep. It's almost like there was a director who's addicted to sex for this episode, because also the way Nate and Jenny are kissing, I'm like, I just never would have made that choice.
I know. It's really like, there was something in the water this episode. Choice.
I'm like, someone came in. Okay, Finchie.
Cut.
We needed to check. Finchie, was it you?
Why aren't we using
Not
tongue?
Not hot enough.
Why aren't we using tongue?
Not hot enough. Hey, guys.
You don't want to?
We've locked all the intimacy coordinators out of the room. Go crazy, kids. Hey, guys, intimacy coordinators have not been invented yet.
And then you hear a voice from the back of the room who goes, thank God. You turn around, Finchie.
Finchie. And she's like, I have an idea, guys. I have lived it. this is what it was like when I had an insane affair with a mega millionaire in New York City. I can't say who. I signed NDAs, obviously, lifelong.
Didn't she work on NDAs. Also, by the way, in another lifetime, there's a world where, like, the lies she's telling could have gotten her on Roni and vice versa.
Can I say something absolutely hateful about someone who should be in jail, but for some reason doesn't get there? It's just that she's not hot enough.
For Roni?
To be on Roni.
Yeah. No. I mean, if she, like, and also vice versa, if, like, one of the Roni girls had Finchie's upbringing, I just mean the outrageous way that their brains work and the lies that they tell to the world and to themselves.
Yeah.
Convincing themselves that it's the truth.
I just got to the Ramona Morocco moment where she, like, makes a staff member unpack all her clothes for her. She's like, can you just do this for me? I'm going crazy. And then she, like, steals all the hangers. She's like, I don't give a shit. And, like, walks away. And she is, like,
and then
on
she and
one.
Ramona, or she and Sonia on that trip? They,
yeah,
like, go.
She's in the room with her.
They go to a hotel and, like, get drunk.
Oh, I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, they like, leave the group.
I can't. Ramona is crazy. I'm like, what is that? And I'm genuinely asking, like, is that a thing? Like, having, like a staff member of a hotel unpack for you?
I think in certain other countries. I don't know that it is in, like, Morocco. Like, Dad said that he would go to Japan. I don't think so. Maybe, Caroline,
like, hey, don't touch my stuff.
Caroline, we're not staying at the kinds of hotels that these ladies are staying at.
Oh, okay.
But do you remember the episode of Salt Lake where the Below Deck people unpacked all their belongings? So I think, like, the ultra rich
cruise ship thing.
I think that the ultra rich are used to a certain way.
Speaking of, RIP Matt Rogers and Frasier. But, like, and I just know Matt's heart is hurting.
And it's like, hey, why'd you do that?
Why did you even, like, soft launch the breakup? Like, we already all thought you broke up, and then you were like, we're very much back together. And, like, you let Matt talk about it on the podcast. Not that Matt can't be the one who broke up with him. Matt has a heart of gold.
But it's like, Frasier, you get to sit in on this episode with Mindy Kaling, who's like your favorite of all time, and then you're done with him?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Clout chaser vibes.
And I know we're going to hear on the podcast
like a bad
this
habit,
week.
Matt.
We're going to hear on the podcast this week, guys, don't send. There's no bad
don't
blood.
Send him.
Don't send
it's like,
any.
Babe, I already have.
In my heart.
Again, as I said last week, I'm not in the comments. But if I was, I would have already sent hate.
But it's like, we aren't in the comments, but we are on the mic.
We are on the mic. And you know what? In a way, I have sent hate. I've sent it into the world. And, you know, they say what you send to the world will come back to you. And I'm sure it will. It's okay. I can take it. Anyway.
So
Blair and Chuck.
They're getting ready to have sex. But then Blair wakes up.
It's like, it's a dream. Dorota comes in. And, like, also, this whole opening scene, beyond just the dream part, this next part, too. Okay, Finchie. stop thinking about sex so much. It's any episode that we through your work.
Any episode that we find a little bit off-putting or like a little much, Finchie.
That's
wrote
a Finchie.
It.
That's a Finchie. Up. Finchie's, we were like, and that's Finchie's pen name. And then one day we have a writer of Gossip Girl on the show, and they're like, so I want to talk to you, actually.
It's actually, about... here's a cease and desist.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Blair's like, I have to finish something. And Dorota like starts to walk away. And then she turns back and says, don't forget, God always watching, Miss Blair. And Blair goes back and I'm like, okay, so we are talking about, okay. So she was just going to do that or do her own thing. That's what that was. First scene. Okay, double whammy.
First scene.
Okay, this is worse than Pretty Little Liars.
Imagine like you're in high school and you have Gossip Girl on and like for some reason your mom has decided to like be in the room. Because you're like, it's not.
Well, that would never happen, Phoebe, because she had it pretty much like.
I'm not saying
privacy
you,
controls.
It
was banned on all laptops and TV in the house.
You know, generally, like when we would have a show that we would watch and like mom would just like pop in. Once
yeah, and you'd
every
like
few weeks,
pray every night before you started the show that it wouldn't be one of those scenes.
Ride starts playing when Spencer walks into the motel room. I'm like, oh, and you know what? I am so tired. I don't think I want to watch the rest of this episode.
And then, or worse, dad, he's like, what is this show? What are you watching? He like gets mad. It's like, okay, chill. And also, I remember so many years doing my math homework at the dining room table while dad's in the den watching like a war movie at top volume, one room over, and it's like, bah, 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 but then I hear like, fuck every other word, and I'm like sitting there trying to do my homework. I'm like, but you're mad at me for watching Spencer get dirty with Toby? I'm mad at me too. I'm mad at me too, but this is a double standard. Anyway,
exactly.
So
we go to the loft and Jenny is getting all
her
stuff.
Oh, great. Jenny looks awful. Great, Jenny looks awful.
Guys, I mean, but she may as well have taken a thick black Sharpie to her eyelids.
Yeah, she's wearing like black eyeshadow over like the whole lid. But you know, ladies, when you're like putting lid on the upper part of your brow bone, not even your brow bone, just like the crease and beyond, she doesn't even let it hit there. So
it's just
makes her eyes feel very like
she looks like a meme.
And like, yeah, and then her hair is now like platinum blonde, and we've got a new edgy cut. So it's like curtain
like
bangs. It's a mix of curtain bangs and goth bangs.
It's an emo,
you know,
swoop.
I mean?
Of course.
Is it an emo swoop? I thought it was like part in the middle though.
Is it? It
yeah.
might be. But it's,
it is. And
it's the
like,
platinum blonde where like she told them that they could leave some dark roots in there.
Yeah, like she looks, it looks, you know, worn. Well, she looks mm-hmm. worn. And she's, but I will say during this time, and she also wears only like nude lipstick this whole season when she's doing this makeup. And I used to like love that look though. I know.
I never
crazy.
Liked it. I never liked it.
Thanks. Anyway, don't you guys know what I say? I used to love that look. Insinuating I did wear it. Phoebe says, I never liked it. I never liked it. Okay. Well, anyway. It's just ridiculous, but I do like her dress and I always did. It is like a little like A-line type of dress and it's like dark gray plaid, I guess, short sleeve V-neck,
yeah.
But the lining is all hot pink and there's like hot pink tulle underneath it.
It's
and
very
it's obviously
Caroline.
Like, but also like, at that time I had a lot of like
grade.
Clothes like that. Look,
yeah.
It was just, I thought
like,
it was cool, but
it's like you're shopping. You're going into Hot Topic, but you're pretty, all your bases are from like Forever 21.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to look at that. Yes. But anyway, she's on the phone. She's like stressed out. Dan and Rufus are kind of making fun of her. I would have already skyrocketed into orbit if they were doing that to me. Leave me the hell alone. And then we find out there's a new artist, Aaron Rose, doing an opening at the gallery tomorrow. So Rufus and Dan are going to be there, at which point we have. But one can only define as a meet cute between little Jay and good guy Nate.
So yuck. So yuck.
So yuck. Hey, Jenny, I'm yucking your yum. Yeah.
But guys,
Nate
was little Phoebe's dream.
Nate, I'm not yucking anything about you. You are yum.
No, Nate is perfect.
Nate is yum. Nate is yum. That's how I'm talking about him from now on. Good guy Nate, yum. Just be nice to me today. When I say something funny, he goes, And then she's like, what are you talking? I was just being nice to you.
Wait, no. I am confused because I've been laughing the whole time you were saying that.
Can't hear it.
That's a you problem.
No, it
isn't. I've been laughing.
You seem like that. I've been laughing.
I know, but you're gaslighting me here. I have been laughing.
I didn't say you weren't gaslighting. I didn't say you weren't laughing. I said I can't hear it. It's not the same thing. So say you're sorry for calling me a gaslighter.
I'm not saying that was crazy.
You called me a gaslighter on air. Say sorry.
I'm not saying sorry.
Are you guys hearing this? Say you're sorry.
No.
Why?
Because I stand by it.
That I'm a gaslighter?
You're telling me I'm being one way and I'm not.
I'm not telling you how you're being. I'm saying I didn't hear your laughing.
This is revisionist history.
No. No, it's not. Hey, everyone's been listening to this whole thing. Guys, is this revisionist history or actually completely accurate?
Guys, I think
what is revisionist about it?
Well, you've said multiple times, like, Phoebe hates me. Phoebe, like, laugh at me. Phoebe do X, Y, Z.
I don't think I said Phoebe laugh at me.
This is what started this conversation.
I just don't think I said that.
You said something along those lines.
I think I said something funny and Phoebe went,
I did, but then I laughed. I had been laughing at your whole Nate bit.
Okay, and all I said was I didn't hear it. And then you call me a freaking gaslighter. Psycho, say you're sorry. You are so annoying. Flick, pest mode. You're in pest mode. You are literally being in pest mode. Anyway, okay, so Jenny runs smack dab in the middle of Tanate's chest. Hairless.
He notices his hair. Hairless. And he notices her hair.
Yeah, he says he likes it. And I'm like, okay, not so good, huh?
No, wait, here's what we have to remember.
That's what I'm saying. I don't buy that you like her hair. I don't buy that you like her like this.
Who was the last girl that he dated other than the last girl that he's
kind of interested in? I already thought about that. It was, quote, Vanessa. This isn't even the same kind of thing, though.
Vanessa stays. This episode's
Vanessa in this episode, I was like,
particularly bad for her.
She's in one scene, you guys. She's in one and a half scenes.
And she's able to ruin everything.
Put a bad freaking taste in my mouth. I will tell you that. A bad one.
Because, hey, so, if I could have the perspective that I have as a viewer of the show and also somehow be Vanessa's friend who could give her advice, I'd say, hey, Vanessa, remember last week when you said to Blair, I own you?
Yeah. Roll the tapes.
Don't act like you're like.
No, I know.
On some high horse.
That's what's killing me. Like, Vanessa, you're a psycho. You're a psycho. And everything you do is motivated by being in some insane, lustful state towards Dan Humphrey. And it's like, get real. He's not going to choose you. He's going to choose Serena. He's made it clear. So just, like, stop this now. You know what I mean? Pest mode vibe. She's in pest mode. Okay, Vanessa's here and she's in pest mode. Flick, you know? So anyway, Blair, we have a lot of iconic Blair looks in this episode, like pictures that are used widely for Blair. And one is her with this damn umbrella. She's walking down the street and Chuck pulls up and he's like, I'll give you a ride. And she's like, really? And they're just like flirting back and forth because they have this whole deal, if you'll remember, that he won't sleep with her until she says that she loves him. But she's not going to fucking say that.
Stupid as fuck.
Stupid that she won't say it?
No, Chuck.
Stupid of... Yeah, I agree. It's so dumb. Like, I'm like...
Mean.
Because
also it's like he knows how she feels.
Well, there's a part of me, though, that's like... There's a part of me that doesn't see it as so mean as it does, like, he is genuinely so insecure and like he's not gonna say it.
That's
but
true,
if
yeah.
she knows how he feels, like they both know they feel that way, but it's like neither one of them is gonna say it. So it's like he's like, I'm gonna make you say it so that I feel safe enough to say it to you, and then whatever. So I don't even feel like it's like he was gonna make her say it. Like, I fully believe that if she would have just said it, they would be together right now. Until
I guess my issue more so is just like the transactional nature of it and like putting her in this.
But that's Blair.
Position.
Like I was kind of like, I think it's like nicer of him to be like, I'm not having sex with you. Like, I'm not just, I don't think of you that way anymore. That
would
be,
if that's how he was talking and acting, I would agree. But he's being a little asshole about it.
But she's the one who wants to fuck so bad. So that's where I'm like, it's not like he's like, if it were the other way around and he was trying to seduce her constantly and like, he'd be like, you have to tell me you love me first or like whatever, like that would be different. But he's like rejecting her advances.
I think I see it a little differently. I fear. I just think it's like kind of grody.
Yeah, I don't think it's as grody because he's not the one who's pushing sex. Like if he was pushing sex, I'd be like, that's grody. But like,
I know, I agree with that.
I don't think it's
also,
as gross to be
do...
like, I'm not going to have sex with you until we have said I love you.
No, I just get a
and
weird.
And she just happens to be really horned up. And
I just
wants
get
to have
a weird vibe from it. I don't like it.
Okay.
It feels like coercing it out of her, which I don't love.
I guess. I mean, it is a game. It's like not a cute thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's like all him. Like I it's not all him.
They're I don't think that either. It. I just don't okay. like it.
Okay. So anyway, I don't remember where we were.
Basically she's she won't like, say I it. Hate you and I'm not getting in the car.
Yeah.
And then we go to Waldorf Designs, and Jenny is dressing this model. She's, like, at her feet, and the model is super complimentary of the dress. And we find out that her name is actually so unbelievable for just the whole vibe of this character and, like, who she is in this world. Her name is Agnes.
I think I used to think it was unbelievable, but now maybe it's just because, like, just in my mind, like, that's Agnes. I'm just, like, not fazed by it, but I do think I used to feel that way.
I think as a it makes me think of Agnes from Sweet Life on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, who was, like, a loser, gross
Ew.
Girl.
Yeah, I
No
totally
offense to anybody named Agnes, but I feel like if you grew up in the 2000s, that name was always given to, like, dorky, nerdy girls.
I also just feel like it's not a common name. It's not, like... It feels like a dated name sometimes. We're in the same way that like Francis can feel that way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's still used, but it like feels like Ruth
I think,
and Frank. You know how we say that about like Becca from The Bachelor's kids? Like they all have like kind of like old people names, but it's like, we're not saying it's a bad thing. It's so cute.
No,
it's
I think
just
more,
like, that's
more
what
so,
it makes me think of.
I agree with, I think if this were happening now, if this show was moved to 2026 and her name was Agnes, I would buy it more because that does feel like a name that like a young Gen X, older millennial would like reclaim for their kid. But in 2010, I still feel like I feel like this girl would have found a different name to go by. That was little.
There's something about it that I'm like, it's like.
Now I feel that way. I just feel like back then it was still kind of like she would have wanted it to be different.
Well, obviously not. Because she's going by it. And if anyone were going to change her name, if she wanted a new name, it would be this bitch. It would be her. She is crazy, you guys. And she compliments Jenny's dress, the dress that's like on her body, which is the dress you're talking about earlier. And Jenny's like, oh, yeah, like it's cool, whatever. And Eleanor ends up being like, hey, sorry, I skipped a little bit. But there's a buyer from one of the stores here, and Eleanor like had said that Jenny could be in the meeting, but then she changed her mind. And so Jenny's like now trying to get in meetings, which is why I skipped. But Nate comes in because she forgot her sketchbook and he brought it all the way here to her. And this was like so nice. And it just like, I want to like rewrite it in my head that it's not, he's into her. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's like, like this is his way of like paying rent to the Humphreys by like being a help, you know, doing all these.
It just
things.
Feels
no,
like we
it's
needed.
He's for some reason into her.
It feels like we needed one more episode between the last one and this one to like explain the behavior, like the new behavior of these two characters. Like them seeing each other this morning when he walks out of the shower isn't enough for me to like completely rewire my brain to think that Nate has a crush on Jenny Humphrey.
No, it's just like been a minute and it hasn't been developed. So yeah, it's just weird. So Serena and Dan are at school and they're like wondering if they can be friends. And then Blair walks up and is like, you have to help me figure out how to destroy Chuck Bass. And Serena's like, I know, Dan, maybe you could bond with Blair. And he's going to give her advice on Chuck Bass, which is like the most insane thing I've ever heard.
It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I know. It's really bizarre. And so Dan's advice to her is that she should say it. She should just say that she loves him. Because she goes, I have an itch that only Chuck can scratch and he's withholding until I say I love him.
And Blair Dan's almost like, said it in this way where she was like, okay, Serena, you're going to have your little freaking boy toy help me. I'm going to make him as uncomfortable as I possibly can.
No, it is. It's completely that. She's literally looks at Serena with an eat shit look. I have an itch that only Chuck can scratch. And she just like goes in. And so Dan's like, well, why don't you just say it? Because then you can get what you want. And she's like, no, because then he would win and I would lose. And so he's like, well, I think you should become unavoidable and just drive him crazy and wear him down. You should be good at that. So that's what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm. And so then we go to the Waldorf Designs and Eleanor is apologizing to Jenny about the meeting. And she's like, look, these meetings, they're not going too well. And the buyer, this is like Eleanor's worst nightmare, I think. The buyer only really liked Jenny's dress.
This is like the second time this has happened. Where it's like first it was like Jenny's dress at the fashion show, and now it's the buyer liked the dress Jenny was physically wearing.
Hey, Ellie, let's pack it up.
Ellie. But like, I'm also just like, I just hate how Jenny just burns us to the ground. I just am like,
it's like she can't, and I don't even, like, it's not even like, and I'm sure in her brain in 20 years, she'll be able to blame Agnes for this, mm-hmm. but like, we've been watching her over the course of a season and a half, and it's just like, no, Jenny, this is who you are. You suck.
Yes.
You are like,
yes.
You're miserable, and you're jealous, and you're greedy, and you're power hungry, and you don't think you're entitled, just like your brother.
Exactly.
You don't think, and which is weird because I don't necessarily find Rufus entitled. Maybe he was when he was their age, but like, I feel like he's doing a lot of things to hopefully get them to see that they aren't.
Right.
Less so with Dan, even though he will like cut Dan down a bit when he's like, you are annoying and you're this and you're that. With Jenny, it does seem like he's trying to get her to understand that she needs to put in like the work more so. And Jenny just, it's not, she's like, no, but everybody loves my stuff. Like I should just be able to do whatever I want.
Jenny's just the type that like she hears a compliment and she's like, I'm going to. Like, this is what I wanted to hear you say. This confirms everything. This reaffirms everything that I've been telling myself. And so I'm going to go full throttle, like, through this. And then it's not going to go well because something's going to happen. Because it's like she doesn't actually have that foundation. And, like, Eleanor.
And then it's everybody else's fault when the thing goes wrong.
Yeah. And then you know what? Dan is the same fucking thing. Look at him in the internship and his inability to write the fucking story and get the letters of rec. And he just thinks it's going to be okay. And it's like, there is an entitled, privileged, like, energy there. If you are assuming that you can show up to Yale with two letters of rec and that it won't be an issue.
And because sorry, why, Dan, dude? Like, it's something that Blair Waldorf missed.
Exactly.
The person you think is so privileged.
Yeah, she would never do
that.
And it's just like, it's not a matter of, like, you not knowing. It's not a matter of, like, oh, well, she comes from that world, so she... No, it's like you aren't following the rules and you're expecting people to bend them and break them for you. How is that any different than what you hate
these
you
think
people
you're,
for doing?
You think you're so talented. You think that you're going to be the person who's worth breaking the rules for.
And that's... Jenny has the same thing. Like, she is the same exact thing. And so, anyway, Eleanor is like, I'm going to give you an opportunity, like... Barney's and Bendel's are coming tomorrow. I want to show them the dress that you're wearing. And when the buyers leave here, they will know the name Jenny Humphrey. And so Jenny has to make the dress again tonight in Eleanor's fabrics. And it's like a really quick turnaround. But again, when you're given an opportunity like that with the promise that Eleanor Waldorf, who doesn't just throw compliments out, like she told you they will leave here knowing your name. That's not nothing. So you know what you should have just done is gotten it fucking done. Like,
and not gotten it done. Fucking party.
And the next day she's like, when she says it's not my best work, but it's like, well, period. Why isn't it your best work? That's it. Like, I don't care. Like, you should be able to give me your best work on a moment's notice. And maybe it's not fair. Maybe it's whatever. But do you want this or not? Because that's how the world is. Like, it's not
exactly.
fair. You're not given enough time. But, like, you decide if you want to, like, take the opportunity and actually make something of it or not. Like, if that is completely in your control. You just, how much do you want to sacrifice for it? You know, sorry. But anyway, so now we go to Blair. Doing what Dan said, she's becoming unavoidable. She's sitting on Chuck's car to tempt him. She's asking him to get a drink. He's like, no.
She is she like a rolls model up her and a dress. Coke ad.
I mean, but again, this is such an iconic Blair like pose. I see it like all the time. She looks so cute. But she pulls up her skirt and shows like her stockings. And Clyde is having trouble. Clyde. I just said Clyde, I think.
I like thought Clyde must have texted you.
I have Clyde on the brain.
It's just Clyde is so similar to Chuck. It's just like hard Clyde to and Chuck even see them
so
apart.
Similar. I literally don't know why I said Clyde, but I'm just thinking of him always. Anyway, Chuck can't take it. So they do go to a bar. And again, she's just like throwing everything she can at the wall.
She
trying
like spills
to seduce
a drink on his crotch area and starts patting
like
him dry.
Fully rubbing it. I was like, okay. And he stands up. He's like, okay, stop it. And he says, I gave you a shot, and while your efforts were admirable, I'm bored, and you ruined my pants. Good night, Blair. And he leaves.
Mm-hmm. And so Serena is going to see Dan at the gallery, and God, she is annoying.
I remember this relationship annoying. Between them makes me want to claw my eyeballs out.
So it is icky.
Icked out to the max. This guy, just really quickly, I'm just gonna set the scene for you because
could we
she comes
have
into the gallery.
Hot? Like we're all the hot people in New York busy on the day of auditions.
I think that they thought when he took his glasses off, everyone was gonna be like, oh, but like it didn't. But this kind of guy was really
hot. I know
at
what
that
you
time,
mean.
Though.
Like he there's something, but then he starts talking.
This is like the Bryce vibe like of that time.
Yeah,
it is.
But this guy's
Bryce was a little bit different, but he's not cute. He just like icks me out.
I think his lack of charisma is maybe what is getting in the way of like,
well, and the 3D movie glasses. That's the thing. She walks in to see him or to see Dan, and she like meets this guy Aaron, and the glasses he's wearing look like the ones that you get at a 3D movie, and then people like poke the lens out and wear them. Like, that is what it looks like he's wearing. And
Serena is just, like, she is that annoying character in a movie who is, like, so in, and I'm going to use this word, and it's not a knock on mom. I'm all about whimsy. But she, like, this is the kind of, like manic pixie dream girl. Like, she's, like, so distracted by, like, the art. Like, she might be with an entire group of friends and see an art gallery and, like, be like, oh, guys, I just have to stop. I just am feeling, like...
She goes, guys, you know what? Why even tell them? They probably won't notice I'm gone because they're just going to be talking about, you know, shoes and clothes while I'm thinking about art. So I have to go. Not that you'll notice. And she goes in there and then she, like, goes on Instagram Live and she's like, yeah, I asked my friends to come and they don't want to.
And then she's like,
and they're like, you didn't ask us. And she's like, I knew you wouldn't.
She does this like thing where like she is that sultry girl, but as soon as she's in an environment like this and there's a guy, she like needs, she wants to be that like fun,
like,
bubbly, like partially.
Ooh, I make jokes.
She like likes art, but she's also dumbing herself down.
Yeah.
Like,
she's just like, and her flirting is like really cringy, but it's like, it's that annoying thing of it's like Lyric on Big Brother. Look, when the flirting is really cringy, but like you're pretty enough and this guy is into you enough that like it just completely works on him. So you go your whole life thinking it's good flirting and it's like so painful to watch. That's what this is.
Yes.
So that's happening. They get introduced, whatever. Vanessa and Dan are getting ready for tonight. And Vanessa's like, listen, your dad has been so stressed. He has been winking nonstop. Like, even the camera guy thought he had a crush on him. And I was like, I'm standing right behind you. Yep. He's winking at me.
Dan.
Obviously.
So, Dan, if you could finish unpacking these boxes.
I think I'm the only one who can relieve your father. You understand.
Ew. I mean, anyway, even when they're not on the screen together, there is tension.
And that is every, and by the way, what we just said is everything Vanessa would have said if Blair hadn't called Dan and interrupted. That's the only reason we didn't get to see it. That is what happened.
And then Vanessa just, she's distracted from, she went from 1 second being in heat to another second seeing red.
Literally. She's like, two Blair really drops his phone on the toilet. Good luck, Brooklyn boy. Good luck. Like, she's
so mad. You
always
love when I say you look like that rat from Flushed Away. Now's your chance.
You think you used to call him what, the blueprint? Get real, Dan.
We find out that Dan's actually been, don't you think I kind of look like that guy?
I know it's like a claymation cartoon, but the resemblance is crazy, right? Anyway, so
it's the smoke inhalation from the wildfires.
Maybe, but can you just continue on?
But so Vanessa sees that Blair is calling Dan, and she loses it. She freaking
loses. We just said
it.
That whole.
I know, but I'm getting back into it. I'm getting back into it.
Okay, well,
you
took so long.
He answers, and Blair is like so pissed at Dan because the
advice hasn't worked. I wanted to thank you for convincing me to throw myself at Chuck. I can skip dinner now that I'm so full on humiliation. Not so
good. Good, good, good. And
Dan says, are you sure it didn't work? She goes, there was no hard evidence. Literally.
And then he's like, let me just shut this girl up. Go intercept
literally
him at his house.
Exactly. You know where he's going now, so why aren't you already there? He's like, I know. He's like, we don't know what I would do. I already know where you're all going all the time. I'm already there. I'm already halfway there.
It is true. Actually, this is, I'm like, oh, now this is kind of even grosser because you're just giving Blair the advice that you used.
Yeah. He's
to
like,
date
become
Serena.
Unavoidable. Check. Make 10 Gossip Girl posts about Dan Humphrey today and send them all to Serena's phone. Like, yeah, Dan wrote the playbook on how to be unavoidable.
Yeah.
He knows how to get someone's attention. He spent his whole life manipulating the entire world so that he and Serena would get together.
So Dan,
and then he hears the unmistakable sound of Serena's laugh come over the loudspeaker.
Wait, can I do it?
I can't even do it.
Her laugh is
again,
crazy.
I mean, ha 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 ha.
I mean,
it's like literally like, ha ha ha. Like, I don't even know, but it's literally like, it's like what you, when you look up the sound, what does it sound like to laugh? And someone's like, ha ha ha.
It's like she's actually like paralyzed in every nerve of her body except her vocal cords are frozen.
Yeah, it's like really bonkers. By the way, guys, like Frozen's opening in a couple days, and like, I'm sorry, the story is so beautiful. I'm dead ass. I'm so serious. Like, I know it is, but like I've watched it now like 50 times in a row now, after having some time off, and like, it's so like, it makes me cry. I literally am like crying when Anna says no and jumps in front of Elsa, and then
I used
oh
to
my
have
God.
That movie memorized.
I know, me too. I was obsessed with it. Sadie was obsessed with it. We used to watch it all the time.
I saw it like, I mean, I saw that movie at least 5 times in theaters.
It's so good. Well, it is so good because it's like the true love is like the sisters. It's so sweet. And also Olaf, though, like, oh my God, there's a line where Anna's like, I don't even know what love is, and Olaf goes, I do. It's caring about putting someone else's needs over your own. And then Olaf is by the fire after lighting it for her and says, she says, Olaf, you're melting. And he says, some people are worth melting for, but not today. And then he's able to get up. But it is like, he's just like so sweet. Like,
he's kind of the hybrid of, he's kind of a hybrid of Chuck and drama.
Totally. Totally. Frozen 2,
he's not necessarily just one or the other, but
more like Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck's like got a little Sven in him, of course.
Of course. They look alike.
Of course.
He could have been playing Sven.
We have a human person doing it.
Your favorite.
Sven has lines.
Oh.
So
it's different.
It's different. Sensings. Anyway, all right, so we're back in the gallery now with Aaron and Serena, and Dan was like following the sound of Serena's voice. Aaron is
like,
invited Serena to the show.
Hey, Serena.
Dan's like, pause. Dan's giving Hudson a next gen. Hey, just want to set some boundaries. That's still my girl. Yeah.
He's no. like, hey, Serena, we're going.
What? We're leaving now. She's like, I'm not going with you. And he's like,
and hey, Aaron.
I think you are.
And hey, Aaron, take all this down. Exhibits yeah. off.
Exhibits off. Lights a match. Drop. Walks away. Steps on it. Snuffs it out. Take this all down. I can't burn this place down. My dad spent a fortune on it.
We hear a Jesse Buckley like scream from Hamnet. It's Vanessa in the other room. The second she hears the match.
And he's like, psych, just kidding. Keep you on your toes. Walks out with Serena. He does leave with Serena. Anyway, Jenny and Agnes are now at the bar, and Jenny's like super stressed because again, she's got a fucking dress to make. She's an expedited dress to make, and yet here we are. 15 years old in a bar.
Okay, well, Can you please stop talking about the stress? You're kind of ruining the mood.
Chuck is straight up tiptoeing right now.
Chuck the dog?
Until that. Yeah. He like has been on the landing laying down. And I'm like obviously in here recording. And then like I see him get up and he's like walking on his toes. Like he knows he needs to be quiet.
Hi, handsome boy.
Hear you.
That's he kind of looks scary, actually.
I know.
Oh, he's just getting cozy coz.
What's that human being behind me? Okay, face in the wall. Yep. Okay.
Oh, I bet it's that's how he's used to sitting on the couch. From your old house.
Dude. What is up?
Oh.
He is so cute. Drama, don't worry, he's literally right here. Anyway, sure. Jenny's like, I need to get back. And Agnes is like, well, by the way, I like your dress. And Jenny's like, well, that's why I have to get back, bitch. I should make another one.
She says, you'll get to this famous Luann quote, Luann de Lesseps. She says, you guys are being like totally uncool. Why don't you guys just be cool?
I feel like I've heard that many times.
You want to know what she's saying it in relation to?
What?
Making out with a married man the night before.
Her making out with a married man?
Who then slept in the room adjacent to two girls who were asleep that didn't know that he was there.
And the girls are like,
why do you guys have to be so, like, funny. Uncool? Like, just
I am really
cool.
ready for her arc to continue here. I can't wait to see where we go. Anyway, staying focused.
They switch clothes.
Agnes is like, give me your clothes. Yeah, they switch outfits in the bathroom. And then Agnes sees someone she knows, this guy named Max, and he's giving Colin Creevy from Harry Potter, and he immediately takes a picture of Jenny with Flash in a dark bar. Way to become the most annoying person here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care if you, like, take pictures for magazines. You're actually killing the vibe. Max?
And so, apparently it's Agnes's boyfriend. And,
I don't think so.
That's what
I think
I
they just, like,
down.
Kiss sometimes. Oh. Did she say it's her boyfriend? She might have.
And then, so we go back to Dan and Serena, and they're taking a walk after getting coffee at 9 p.m. at night. And
yeah, Serena's pretending to be mad. I cannot believe you told her to go to my house to seduce Chuck. Dan.
Meanwhile, she's texting Blair, you are bad.
Okay, I'm sorry, you will never convince me that Blair Waldorf texts like this. In your UR room. This will be capital E, capital Z.
She texts like Spencer Hastings. There is no world, unless the only rationalization for her texting like this is efficiency.
Yeah, but I don't think Blair is not going to sacrifice taste. And class and aesthetics for efficiency. Like, she's just not, you know what I mean? Like, she's not gonna dim the lights. She's gonna go, search in Serena's house for all the big candles and light them all one by one, you know? She just is that person.
There's actually a dinner party at the Vanderbilt Woodsons tomorrow night, and Lily's gonna be like, where are all the candlesticks I just bought?
In the wax. Lily goes upstairs, Blair's covered in wax. It's all over her body. She's like, what the fuck? Anyway, but also Blair has at this point already ordered and had delivered replacement candles that are 10 times nicer. You know what I mean? Like, that's Blair's true. Like Paige DeSorbo in that way. We're like, I want to read Paige DeSorbo's etiquette book.
Yeah, not
because there's some things she just like gets, you know what I mean? And it's like a modern day. Like, I feel like she gives Blair Waldorf, honestly, in that way.
For sure. She is kind of the absolute hybrid of
the two,
Serena and Blair.
So true.
She is the good aspects of both of them.
Yeah.
And not many of the bad.
Good for you, Paige.
I guess.
And I'm sorry that I thought you got engaged in Italy. I just wanted you to be, because I want to see it.
Imagine how much fun she was having putting that dump together where she had her left hand hidden in every single picture.
I'm like, you, and hey, girl, you cannot tell me it was accidental.
No, it was absolutely on purpose. Imagine how much fun that was.
And she goes on Giggly Squad, and she's like, you guys, my brother got engaged. And I'm like, no, well, no one was confused. Like, nobody, she was like, maybe you guys, like, got that confused. No, we thought you, why did you wear 10 white outfits on your brother's engagement trip?
Hannah goes, okay, no one can be tan and wear white anymore?
No. Not when we're eager, when you're talking about having a baby every other day and we're eagerly waiting a ring. Like, no. Anyway, so Chuck gets home and he sees Serena's doors open and Blair's in there lighting said candles. And Blair's
sexy song playing, and she like is in a little like lacy nightgown, and she's like moving. It's giving like something from Spring Awakening or something. Like it's like
totally
she's
giving
really
that, or it's giving
like
Lady Macbeth lighting candles. Yeah. And wait, by the way, a kid walks up to the director in rehearsal the other day and goes Macbeth and walks away.
I knew that's where that story was going. That's so funny.
Oh, no one else thought it was funny. Let me tell you, that kid was remanded to the stage to learn. And he's like, what? It's like, hey, actually, why'd you do that?
I know this isn't your theater, but I imagine there's a theater in the world where a theater director comes down, puts his scarf over his shoulder and says, you may as well have just brought a gun into this theater.
I mean, that is essentially what it felt. It was like, what? And then of course someone's like, wait, what's Macbeth? And like says it, and
everyone,
it's like, okay,
it's
stop.
Like the pelicans and
literally
Finding Nemo. Macbeth.
Yeah. And it's like, shut up, stop saying it. Now you
there
both
was
have
a,
to go
there
do
was
the
a
whole
period
thing.
Of there was a period of time where I am by period of time I mean about a day, I think, when we were last together, where I was like, can we say it at all? I was like, is it bad luck to say
it
anywhere?
No. And every time I say it, I do get a little bit, but it's really like in the theater. Like, I shouldn't probably have said it because I'm actively working on a show that needs work. But
can you, okay, this is my question for when you are working on the Scottish play. Can
you say it then,
in the play?
Obviously. Yeah.
And then also. Yeah.
But like in rehearsal, you call it Mackers. Like,
what's the rule for, theater goers?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them say it, but it's like, if you know, you say the Scottish play, you know? But like, it's obviously a superstition, but some people take it very seriously. And I think when your show's not in a great place, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, we don't need that energy. And also like annoying. And also, yeah, but there's a lot of recorded, like, horrible things that happen in theaters after it's said, so. Or where productions of it are happening, too. So I want to say when I did it, we, like, always, like, said something first, like, before we did it or whatever, but we would all call it the Scottish play. Anyway.
So
I loved
we go.
Being in that show. So Serena. Or
Blair's
Serena
phone
was
keeps
like,
ringing.
Blair was like, Serena said she was going to, I'm just going to stay over here. Like, she doesn't care. Serena invited me to sleep over. And then, yeah, they're kissing and her phone keeps ringing. And then they both, like siblings, dive for the phone. And she says, give it! Which is hilarious.
And read the text verbatim from Serena.
Well, he reads the text that say, he sees Blair's and says, in your room, this will be easy. And then he sees, B, you are so bad.
That's my favorite one.
And he's like, yeah, right, and leaves.
It's kind of a taste of, like, what their, like, friendship is in terms of, like, that's a true, like, girl friendship.
But totally. But I am like, also, okay, this is a moment where I'm like, is that not, like again, Chuck Chuck is also, I think he's also being vulnerable here.
Yeah. Sure. I agree to an extent. He gives me the creeps. So
yeah, no, I know.
It just generally gives me the creeps when he does these sorts of things. Be a man.
Did you see the Pretty Little Liars meetup? Wait, I'm going to say this again cleanly because I need to clip this. Did you see the Pretty Little Liars meetup where they were asked, what's one thing you would change about your character?
Yeah, I want to thank Tyler Blackburn for what he said.
The hair. Oh, thank God he said that. Thank God. I'm just so happy.
An astute observation that I, as someone who's watched the show like 5 times, have never thought of, is he said, where were you getting a straightener? You lived in the walls of the school.
Literally. Where? That's why living with Hannah. We need to look back. When he started living with Hannah, did his hair get straighter or did he start curling it?
Canonically, Caleb is more of a ghost, and yet we never said he was a ghost.
I didn't like that Caleb was like, he should have just gotten out of there. Excuse me.
You know that feeling when you're reading a thriller and you tell yourself, okay, just one more chapter. And then suddenly it's 2 a.m. and you're questioning every character's motives? Yeah, that's exactly the vibe of Not What It Seems by number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. I recently got into this one and it absolutely hooked me. It starts with what looks like a simple accident in Georgia's eerie lowcountry marshes, but then investigators find a polished stone beside the body, etched with a bloody number and a strange symbol, and that's when things get weird. Soon, more bodies start turning up, more stones appear, and crime reporter Nikki Gillette can't stop digging for answers, even when it becomes clear she's putting herself directly in a killer's path. What I loved about this book is the atmosphere. You've got Savannah's historic streets, creepy marshlands, buried secrets, and that constant feeling that someone is watching from the shadows. It's got that perfect Southern Gothic mood mixed with a seriously addictive serial killer mystery. If you're a fan of authors like Paula Hawkins, Riley Sager, J.T. Ellison, this is definitely one to add to your list. And the title couldn't be more fitting, because in this story, absolutely nothing is what it seems. Not What It Seems by Lisa Jackson is available June 30th wherever books are sold. So if you're looking for your next can't put it down thriller, go grab a copy and prepare to lose some sleep.
Excuse me, Precious Cargo in Rosewood.
What
about her? And also, I noticed how nobody spoke up for her and said, and you know what? While we're talking about it, I wish I hadn't straightened my hair, and I wish that Hannah hadn't had to have 10 rounds of bleach every episode, you know? But what Ian Harding said really was so funny. He's like, one thing? he's like, what would I change about so Ezra Fitz?
When Lucy Hill goes, she's like, I would tell Arya to wait a couple years.
Girly, still too much. Still acting too much. And also, but she did acknowledge the fact that they never had any like pets.
Yes, I did like that.
I was like, okay, sorry, I'm saying that.
Again, Hannah Marin has a white dog.
She has one. We know she has one. Anyway, okay, so back to this. Speaking of photos, because we saw a photo of Hannah and her white dog, we now get this photo montage of Agnes and Jenny out at the bar. And Agnes gets a call.
I hope for Taylor Momsen and this actress's sake that they were like, they could like feign real friendship in real life for a little bit. Because if I had these pictures taken of me.
No. They're so good. Guys, okay, is this our next photo shoot? We recreate this photo shoot. We look exactly like them, of course.
A little smaller.
A little smaller, and my hair is better, of course. I think the pictures are great. I was like, I actually need to find these and do something with them, like some sort
they're
of those,
because
they are
like, this
great.
This whole like sequence is kind of giving the scenes in the Bling Ring when they're in the club.
Yes.
And Thaisa Farmiga and Emma Watson are dancing with each other.
Before the shit hits the fan, you could say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Before they had to wake up and smell the freaking coffee.
Exactly.
In the police station.
Exactly. The police cup of joe. So strong you have to chew it. I always was like, what? When people say that.
And honestly, look, I love the Waitress the Musical, of course, but I do hate that lyric. I hate the way he says it. make that coffee strong enough to chew it.
Strong enough to chew.
I just don't like it.
I don't like it either. I've been singing so much Waitress in the shower. And I thought I was going to have the distinct privilege of singing somewhere in public in August, and the event got canceled. I don't know why. It's honestly fine. It's better for me that I don't have to like worry about being able to sing, because all I do is yell at kids right now. But I was going to sing What Baking Can Do, and like I kind of eat. I really like wish a theater that I want to work at would do that show. Made for it.
Manifest.
It's just hard. It's really hard to do theater sometimes because like everywhere you turn, it's like corrupt. You know what I mean? So it's like, it just needs to be a theater that like I would be able to like sleep at night working at.
For sure.
And so out of the few theaters that have ever said they're doing that show here,
yeah,
none of them have met my needs, unfortunately. And that's everywhere. Okay. There, I said it.
So
am I going to get canceled after this episode?
No. I don't think many people that listen are super invested in the corruption of the Pittsburgh theater scene.
Well, they should be. Maybe they should be. Maybe. In fact, you should all look at your own theater scenes and say, what's happening here? I don't care if you're not into theater at all. It's interesting.
Say,
okay.
Hey, why has my local theater only done Wicked for the last 18 years? And why has Alphaba never been recast?
And also, the rights aren't available. That's crazy. I should sue.
Something's off here.
Something's off here. Exactly. Sorry, guys. Full transparency. I'm surfing the Crimson Wave. Happened this morning. I'm not in the right headspace for anything. And so some of the things I'm saying aren't reading. And I can tell. And there's actually nothing worse. It feels like you're trapped in a glass box. No one can hear you. You also can't see me. It's like that. Okay, so anyway.
So Agnes invites Jenny over to their place to, like, keep the party going. And Jenny, this is where you, like, have a clean break. I know she's pressuring you to come with you. But it's like, Jenny, this is where you pretend you have a phone call from your dad and it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like,
it's
you just find a way to not go there.
She is such a deep need to be included and to be accepted, and like it's what gets her into so many of these situations. Like, you know,
I actually did just completely throw Jenny under the bus because she does try to leave here.
She does try to leave, but Agnes runs away one time. You know what I mean?
No, Agnes.
Oh, right.
Gets in the cab, and Agnes is wearing Jenny's dress, so what she needs to before she can go back to the atelier, so she can work on everything.
You're right. You're totally right. Sorry.
So sorry. Okay, sorry, little Jay.
Sorry, little Jay. Also, Agnes'
so
voicemail. This is Agnes. You know what to do, bitches.
She was
imagine tomorrow I changed my voicemail to that. This is Caroline. You know what to do, bitches. Let's see what the type of people that call
your
me.
Your students' moms are calling.
Thank God most of them don't call me. They're like, she's a texting girl. She's a texting me and I'll hear from her when I hear from her kind of girl.
Some of them would love that, though.
I know.
Agnes gives the character in a Disney show who's like the bad girl influence. Like
she's the girl that comes in and, as John Mulaney says, hands the weed like this. Like,
yes.
John Mulaney's like, hey, by the way, in every after school special, why do they hand the joint like this?
she's the Stevie from Wizards. She's the Hayley Kiyoko from Wizards of Waverly Place.
Which every time I remember that, it's crazy. Yeah, she is exactly. Who else? I'm trying to think of who else are like the bad influence friends.
Well, also Hayley Kiyoko in Lemonade Mouth.
Okay, I'm noticing a trend here. So anyway, Jenny's gonna have to go there, but. And never mind, she's not. I don't know why I keep saying this. She's not. In the morning, she's working at the studio, and Agnes comes in with the dress and is like, by the way, if you give this to Eleanor, I'll freaking take a bite out of your leg. And I got rabies. Like, that is what she says. I mean, she's just like, I don't think you should give it to her. And Jenny's like, you aren't thinking, like, this is important. Stop it. And Agnes is like, don't give her the dress. Don't do it.
Jenny's
do
making
it.
Sense a little bit here.
Yes. She's,
but how
for once in her life,
she is.
And I'm actually surprised by how okay with her, like, showing anger she is towards Agnes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, like, let's ride this. And then Agnes pulls up her MySpace page, and that's when you know it's bad. And she's like, check out all our freaking shots from last night. This could be an ad campaign. And like, what do you think people are going to say when they realize you finally went out on your own? And Jenny's like, I don't know that I'm amazing. And she's like, no, they're going to say your stuff looks like Eleanor's. Don't give her the dress. And so
I do just here's what I understand. Eleanor is like down on her luck right now because the designers are only liking what Jenny's putting in front of them. However, I just don't see Eleanor Waldorf wanting her brand to look like Jenny.
I don't either, except that she did want Jenny to make it in her fabric. So I'm like, this dress could look totally different. You know what I mean?
That's true.
They might have been like, I love the shape, but like, it's, you know. However, I will also say for Eleanor, like, yes, Jenny, this is a moment where your designs are getting like her foot in the door, but Eleanor has all the other pieces of it that you need. Like, she has all the connections. She has all the money. She has all the years of experience. So let her get you in the room with these people when you're ready, because the only reason you haven't been in those rooms is because you have not been ready. Even though you think you have not been. And she's not going to embarrass herself or embarrass you, because eventually she wants people to take you seriously. So she's not going to introduce you at a time where it's not going to behoove you both, because then later on, that's not setting you up for success to put you in a room that you're not ready to be in, you know? And I'm like, Jenny and her then could have helped, like, this would have gotten her in the door. And then from there, Eleanor could have come up with a million other designs that Jenny didn't have to do for her, but that like Jenny could still be credited on, inspired by. And then her designs wouldn't necessarily have to look just like Eleanor's, because she would go in a different direction. Like, it wouldn't be a Jenny Humphrey line with her name on it. This is just like to get them in the door, you know, and show like, if you want more of this, we'll do more of this. And I just think Jenny's so stupid. Like, I don't know. Am I crazy? Like, I don't think Eleanor is really trying to take advantage of Jenny.
No, I don't. No, I don't think that. I don't think.
I'm not saying you do. I'm not saying.
Yeah,
you do.
No,
I'm
I don't
like,
think she.
Am
is.
I? Crazy?
I don't see it the way Agnes sees it at all.
No, I really, really don't.
I also just think there's a level of the fashion world that like Jenny obviously isn't privy to yet, but also Agnes. Just because you're a model doesn't mean you actually understand what goes mm-hmm. into making the clothes that you wear.
Right.
So,
and also,
Jenny, like, I wouldn't necessarily take the model's advice. I would take Eleanor Waldorf's advice.
Yes. And Eleanor, who's saying, like, or Agnes is like, you should be doing this now. Eleanor, in her mind, I think, is like, yeah, be a kid as long as you can be a kid so you don't have to struggle. Like, when you're 18 and then your dad kicks you out and you're not in high school anymore, then that's when you're going to start struggling. And that's when, you know, things are going to be different. But, like, right now is when I should be challenging you, because you're not going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not on the struggle bus in the same way as other people are. So I'm trying to protect you from that and get you ready for it while you're safe. You know, yeah. It's just like, Johnny just like doesn't see that. But anyway, Blair and Serena show up at the cafe, and Serena like wants Blair to listen to Dan. And she's like, well, I'm going to go check out the art salon.
And she goes to find Aaron, and
is that right? Did I make that up?
I'm sure you didn't make that up. I'm sure she said that.
First time I've ever heard that. Thank you. Flash back to reality when Phoebe called me a gaslighter.
In that instance, you were.
You are going to wake up with a spider on your face. Like, no, I wasn't. I wasn't.
She's still doing it.
This is called rage baiting. And for some reason, the people in my life that I love are obsessed with doing it to me, even when they can sense the danger's nigh.
It's.
I know you can tell that I'm close. But
it's a partial rage bait. It's also partially how I feel.
But then you said, she's still doing it. That wasn't a rage bait?
Maybe a little bit, but you
after
are.
I'm already activated. Yeah. They love to do it. They love doing this. And let me tell you, I don't know what it's going to take to teach them to stop. Because when I crash out, they like don't hear me. Like, I'm like, okay, well, I'll keep trying. How about that? I'll keep trying. You too. I'm talking to you and Anthony. Anyway. Okay, you're kings of rage baiting.
Like, so, whatever. Dan is suggesting.
Every time Phoebe starts a scene, ever, And
I just have to like remember. I have to remember where we were. I watched it yesterday.
Dan. Okay. Anyway, Dan tells Blair, "Let it go, idiot."
Just and she's like, "Somebody new."
She's like, "I freaking can't." And he's like,
"You love him.
You actually love him. Like he can't believe it."
He's like, "Someone loves Chuck Bass." Chuck Bass.
He can't believe it. And she's like, "Yeah, that's the shit I said about you, idiot, doofus. Same little ass white shit for brains everywhere." It's a quote from 10 Things I Hate About You. "I'm sure you won't find Padua any different than your old schools. Same little ass white shit for brains everywhere." Because a bird, because they threw something on the window. She goes, "Anyway, cat." Cat. Just kidding. I'm not kidding. That is what it said. So Dan's like, "Well, you know, the first time I told Serena that I loved her, and when she said it back, it was the greatest moment of my life. And even with everything that happened, I would do it all again." And Blair's like, "Yeah, but it's different because if I say it, he wins. And if he wins, then I'll just be another girl to him." And Dan says, "This is actually good advice. You have to decide what's most important to you. Keeping your pride and getting nothing, or taking a risk and maybe, maybe having everything."
It's like, hey, Dan, why can't you put this in your freaking short story?
I was just going to say, where's your quill, man? Write it down. Where's your parchment and your quill? So Jenny brings a dress to Eleanor in the morning. And Jenny's and she's like, "Jenny, go the hell home."
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, "Hey, Jenny, go to hell."
Well, she might as well. Go the hell home or go to hell. I don't care, but you can't stay here. That's what, can't stay here, kid. That's kind of her vibe.
Right.
You did it earlier, Loki. Jenny's like, "Oh, what about the meetings? What?" And Eleanor's like, "You're not going to, oh, baby, you're not getting a ticket to that show."
Hey, baby, there is no plane.
There is no plane. She's like, "This dress is a fucking
around.
Mess.
Take a look around. Do you see any meetings for you to go to?"
News flash.
You're not gonna.
Oh, did you see that thing, Uptown Girls thing I put on my story the other day? Or it's like the first scene where she's like, what does she say? She's like, "Try being an adult whatever." Yeah. "I don't see any." "Oh, wait. I don't see any adults in here." Whatever.
Grown-ups. I don't see any grown-ups here.
Grown-ups never stay friends with kids. I don't see any grown-ups around here.
I do. Why I ought to.
It hurts. So
that movie is like so impactful. It deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
It is so good.
And
it is so good. I want to watch it always.
And then I get sick to my stomach thinking about it. So,
well, of course. Here's what I want to say about Eleanor in this scene, because it does appear she's being harsh, right? It appears for a moment that she's not holding up her end of the bargain. Like, you're not going to the meetings, whatever. But I want to just let everybody know, anyone who is going to come for Eleanor's throat in this moment, she already knew she was going to say all this before Jenny ever showed up with this dress, because Laurel had already found the pictures of Jenny out last night. So Eleanor already knew this dress wasn't done. Like,
well, also, I have a couple things to say.
Okay.
One, she's protecting Jenny, I think.
I do too.
She's also protecting her business. Like, yep. This is where I'm like, Jenny, this isn't a fashion summer camp where at the end of the week you get to present your designs in front of Macy's. It's like,
and
this
she's also
is
like teaching Jenny a lesson.
Exactly.
You know?
Something
this
that her
is
dad
something
needs
Jenny
to
needs to
do.
Learn. Exactly. Jenny needs to learn this. And so Eleanor's like, "You're not going to the meeting. The dress is a mess." And Jenny's like, "Well, I mean, it's not my best work." And it's like that again, like I said earlier, it should be. Like,
end of
it
sentence.
Just should be. Exactly. It's not my best work. There is no but. And Eleanor's like, "Look, I know what you did last night. We saw the pictures. You want to be a grown up and have a real job? You have to accept real responsibility and the consequences of your actions when you don't come through." Like, where is the lie? You know what I mean? Like, bingo. And I want to say this to a lot of people in my life. Like, this is just what it, like, when you don't come through, there are consequences for those actions, and you do
and
have to
accept. It's nobody's fault but your own.
Like, exactly. That's what it is. And then.
And it's also, it's not the universe's fault. It's your fault.
No, it's your fault, because it's, again, the consequences of your actions. And then she says, "I should have known better than to give so much responsibility to a child." Which probably is true, but I'm like, well, darling Eleanor, your daughter is Blair. You've given her so much responsibility. I mean, why would you think you couldn't? You know what I mean? But Jenny's like, I'm sorry, but this child seems to be the only one that can design anything that buyers are remotely interested in. Oh my God. And she says, you are using that dress as an excuse because you're scared that if I meet someone important, they'll want to be in business with me and not you.
Jenny.
And I'm like, hey, Jenny, that you're 15.
Jenny, I think we overshot that one a little bit.
They'll be like, wow, you're 15 and you're already doing this much work with Eleanor Waldorf. That's amazing. We'll see you in 3 years.
Exactly.
They're not going to say, let's start a business together today. Like, you're just, your immaturity is literally showing. And so Eleanor's like, go home. I'll see you Monday. Again, doesn't fire her because she genuinely wants her to learn this lesson. Jenny asks for the dress back and she doesn't mean the one that she just gave her this morning. She means the green one from the fashion show. And Eleanor says, you touch this dress and you will never set foot in here again. Jenny fucking walks across Eleanor, takes the dress, leaves.
This is where Jenny like has her whole life where she's got this whole like portion of her life where she walks around with like a, like Emma Stone and Cruella. Like she walks around with a little snarl on her face. Like, but she's
exactly.
Like everything is like so exaggerated and like annoying as hell.
Everything's like, hump, hump,
yeah, harump.
Like that's how she walks, like harump vibes is what this is.
She, by the way, she thinks she's giving Emma Stone and Cruella. She is not giving Emma Stone.
She's giving bratty little biatch.
Yeah.
In a kid show. You know, I won't even put that on Dakota Fanning and Uptown Girls. Not. It's not her. So Blair's on her couch, on her bed. She texts Chuck, you win tonight, B. And then we go to the art show. And Rufus and Dan are very happy. Serena and Blair show up. And Rufus is like, oh, Dan, why is Blair here? Are you guys hooking up?
What? Hey, Rufus, I think we got to get into therapy for sex addiction. What the fuck?
Yeah, okay. Oh, I forgot. This is the Finchy episode, right? So then he's like, well, I think you need to tell Serena you don't want to be friends with her. You do not want to be friends with Blair. And I'm like, why is this mom when she's decided that we don't want to be friends with someone? It's like, no, I do. I want to be friends with them.
It's
I think you
like,
just need to
mom,
tell
not,
her you don't want
not
to be friends
every
with her.
Friendship is like, we bring someone into our life and mom's like, why are you best friends with that freaking troublemaker? And it's like, yes. I have math with her. She's at the Christmas
party. I have
party.
Math with like, her. We're like doing homework together. Like, yeah, like you watched us the entire time we hung out. Like it's is she that much of a troublemaker? What did she do to you personally? Yeah. Like, tell me. We did math.
She's like,
I let her call me my
honor.
Math homework. Exactly. Her name is Phoebe Connell. Okay. She's your daughter. Where do you want her to go?
Mom's like,
why?
Anywhere,
this
anywhere
freaking
but
troublemaker
here.
Home.
Anywhere
but
and
now she's my maid of honor. Serena is like super excited. Blair seems so stressed out. She needs a drink. So Dan's going to go try to get her one. And this is where Vanessa, again, I mean, literally her second and like only scene in this show. And she, boy, does she make a count.
And she pisses me off.
Boy,
and
does
she,
it pack a freaking
and
bunch.
And she pisses me off.
She goes, so she had seen Serena and Blair. And she goes, so first, Nate's a part of the family. And then I say you've invited Blair to my opening? Seriously? I'm sorry, Vanessa, your opening? Are you the artist who's being featured here?
Your opening?
Exactly. But am I crazy? Is that helping out with the gallery? It is. You're helping out with the gallery.
Where's your name on the thing?
I don't think
Where's
it's
your name
your
on
gallery.
This bed?
I don't think it's your art. Like, I don't get it. Anyway, so Dan's like, look, I'm sorry, but like, I don't think Blair is that bad. And then Vanessa's like, oh, really? Well, how about this? And she doesn't tell Dan the whole story there.
Yeah. I know.
And she
I noticed
says
you
what
left,
she would like him to
You
believe.
Left a few things out, V.
Yeah. What does she say exactly? Like, what does she tell him happened?
She's like, listen to this. Blair put this whole little game together where she made me think that Chuck was really going to hit the Chuck and she like explained that Chuck and Blair had a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But she made it so that Blair was like the puppet master. And she was like, and you know what's crazy? Chuck was the one who came out looking like he had more humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, he is better, more human than Blair. Yeah. So then we go to Serena touching the art. That is so classic. It's just like,
no,
you can't do that. Serena, you can't touch the art. So then she's like, okay, Erin, you're officially a successful artist.
I just went to the Frick in Pittsburgh, an art exhibit there. And hey, old people, there are lines on the floor for a reason. We gotta back up.
Oh, they're not gonna.
We have to. Because
you should actually, here's what I want you to do next time.
I'll start telling them.
Next time, Next time, no, we're better. I don't want you to have to deal with that kind of confrontation. So the solution I have is a little bit different. You go to the museum first. You have about a zillion really strong but imperceptible magnets. You put them onto everybody with tape. Then you go stand. You have to lift weights ahead of this. Okay, it's probably for at least a year. You have a massive, 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 like looks like an inner tube magnet around you. Like 1,000 pounds. You walked into the museum with, they let you in. All the old people suck to you. Perfect view. They're not there anymore. Problem solved. You didn't have to say a word. And you look cool. Yeah. So anywho, Erin asks Serena out to dinner and she's like, I'm not really dating right now. And I'm like, then why have you been acting like you are?
You've
basically been eating chocolate covered strawberries on a bus in front of him. Like that's the level of flirting you've been doing.
You are into me, aren't you?
She's like, this always happens to me when I think I'm developing a really good friendship with someone. I actually wanted you to look at some of my art, my pastel.
She is
work.
So that girl who's like, wait, you like me? I've only been flirting with you and texting only you all day, every day for months.
This literally always happens to me. I can never just be friends with a guy.
You guys don't get it.
Like, you guys seriously, okay, be mean to me. Bully me because of this.
I can never just get a book of love poems that I like and give it to a boy I'm friends with without them reading into it.
I don't get it. And other people are always, I'm like, you don't get us. Like, I'm expanding his mind, but not his body. I'm not expanding his body. So Serena is like, sorry, just whatever. And he's like, well, I'll give you a second chance. If you can tell me the fate of Cecil the Caterpillar, I will go out with you. And she's like, okay, you're weird.
She's like, okay, Warlock, gotta go.
She's like, okay. So Blair runs up. She's so excited. Chuck just texted.
Didn't know I was at a toll bridge. Didn't know I was meeting a troll at a bridge.
Totally. What was that song?
About a troll under a bridge?
Yeah.
Is it an Into the Woods?
No. I don't know. We got to keep going. Okay. So Blair's like, okay, I'm going to go meet him on the roof. And Serena's like, the roof, B? And she's like, this way, if he doesn't say it back, then I can just jump. Then he'll be really sorry. And Serena says, please don't be. You don't want your old bit to say you died in Brooklyn. And Blair goes running up, and Dan, like, I'm out there now. I'm outside of this gallery with my freaking wooden baseball bat, circling it around like the Joker.
I have it behind my back.
Ooh, what do you want to mess with me?
I'm hitting it on my hand.
Oh, youch. Don't feel it because of the calluses from beating people up with this. So Dan stops Blair from going to the roof and is like, I just think, actually, you should not do that. You're going to embarrass yourself.
Blair, you're going to look so stupid.
He's like, he's definitely playing you. Just make sure that he's not definitely playing you right now. And Blair's like, what the fuck? And he totally gets in her head. Then we're at the gallery. Jenny shows up. And then Agnes shows up because they know Erin, of course. And Jenny was like, okay, question for Jenny. You're about to tell your dad about this here? She's like, on her way to tell Rufus about the Eleanor thing at this opening. He's been winking at everybody.
This would be
Vanessa like cannot me. Walk straight, and you are gonna tell him this here. Can you laugh louder so the people who aren't watching know you're laughing and that you haven't died of shock and horror, that you're horrified? Like,
wow, you're really gonna ruin your dad's freaking day like this.
This is honestly, Vanessa walks in, she's like, hey,
this is really uncool.
Look, I know I'm your new stepmom, and that's hard. And Jenny's like, you're not my step. And Vanessa's like, damn it, Roof. He didn't tell you, did he?
Right. Holds up her ring finger.
You know, she's like,
it's a tattoo.
Yeah. I'm like, please. And she's like, okay, family meeting in the office. Let's go.
Dan.
Roof.
And I guess Nate,
Dan.
Too.
And Dan, that means you. Nate, come. And
Rufus,
Dan, get your bro.
Is this going to be kind of awkward that I've kissed both of my stepsons.
Oh my God. Ugh, sorry. Ooh, crack my jaw. Okay, so anyway, Jenny was going to go do that. And Agnes is like, don't do that right now. Like, how about this? Come hang out with me. I'll be your model. And Max will take pics. And like, let's go to a party and meet an editor. Are you my bitch or what? And Jenny says, I am totally your bitch. And they leave. And then they go to leave. Nate's like, Little Jay, I've been looking for you.
Jenny.
I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, I thought we could hang out. Like, you're always working. And she's like, well, I quit. And here's the thing. Nate's right. Sorry, Jenny, Nate's right. But I do get that hearing, do you really think you can start your own business right now, is annoying to hear.
Yeah.
Like, would I have said it? No, but Nate doesn't have siblings, so how would he know that?
He's also, like, never not been earnest in, like, his whole life. So, like, if that's the thought that comes into his head and he means it,
he's just gonna
in
say
a good
it.
Way, he's just yeah. going to say it earnestly.
Yeah, and like you and I, and it would be like, oh, like that's a normal thing to say to somebody, but like maybe not in this situation. Don't say that to Phoebe or Caroline. But he doesn't know that. So anyway, so then he sees Max. He's like, how old is that guy? And Jenny's like, how about this old? Flicks him off, leaves. He's one.
Well, she didn't.
1,000 years old. No, she doesn't do that. That was a joke. No, she does not. She looks at Nate and says he's this many and holds up her middle finger. Okay, Max is not one. I don't know how old he is. He's not one. I know what a one-year-old looks like.
The thing is that with her whole attitude, I believe she flipped him off.
I mean, yeah, I like, it's giving
I,
that.
I was like, okay, CW can
She's
show...
She's like, how old is he? How about this? Shoves it up her ass. Old enough to do that. Old enough to teach me how to do that. She leaves.
I just, in my brain, I'm like, CW.
She pulls on her lip. She has a tattoo that says, fuck you. Old enough to give me the stick and poke. Okay? Happy now, Nate? God. And yes, I have one on my top lip. She can't read it. It's infected. It's covered in blood. And that's why I won't smile. That's why I'm only doing a grimace right now, because my teeth are covered in blood. Which is pretty hardcore. And would I really do that if I wasn't old enough to start my own business? I don't think so.
Stop.
So anyway, Blair and Chuck meet on the roof. And Blair's like, let's do a jinx. Let's do a 3, 2, 1. Say it. Because I don't want to say it first anymore. Because Dan got all in her head. And she's just like, I don't know why everything has to be a deal. Like, whatever. And this part does break my heart for her. She's crying. And she's like, I just like, why should I have to say it first? I'm the one who waited on the helipad. I'm the one who went to Tuscany alone. I asked you to say it first. He's like, when you were leaving with the count, she says, yes. And when you didn't, I wanted to die.
I think that's why I have my issue with Chuck. Is like, and yeah. I understand that he is insecure, so he's not necessarily thinking about it from that perspective. But because we have that perspective, I'm like, Chuck, you consistently stand her up, make her wait, treat her like shit.
No,
and
totally.
Now you expect her to say that. Because I also think this is another perspective. Her wanting to, obviously she is Sally Carson in this episode. She absolutely wants to have sex with him. However, I also think there's probably subconsciously part of her thought process that's like, if we just have sex, we can,
yeah,
we'll be in a relationship.
And I think so too. But I honestly, it's the reason why I like that he won't have sex with her, because I'm like, she is going to think that. And then if so, he's not having sex with her because she's going to get hurt. But like, also, I think that they both are operating with the knowledge that they love each other. Like, I think by this point, they both know how the other person feels. But like, Chuck has literally never like had a girlfriend, basically. Like, he's never done this. And everyone he's ever loved is like, ruined his
That's
life.
True.
And then like
That's
Blair
true.
Has had a boyfriend. So it's a little bit easier for her to say it, but this is just so much more of a risk. So it's like, I think they're both coming at it from these standpoints of like, they are trying to like protect themselves, and in protecting themselves, they're hurting each other.
Yeah.
But that's also part of what they, I mean, he even says that he's like, we are never going to not do this. Like, we love the game. Even when they date later, they play games. Like, they love to do this. And so she leaves and she's crying and it's so sad. Mm.
So then we go back down to the show and Nate is talking to Aaron, the artist, and asks about Max. And Aaron says that he's a great guy.
No, he doesn't. He says, he's a great guy as long as he's not dating your little sister. He says, the magic words for the moment. It's right. So funny because I was about to say he says the magic words, and then you were like, he's, and I was like, okay, she'll say it. And then you just you stopped before like, the main part. You're like, and all I heard was he's a really good guy. That is actually so indicative of me. And you're like, all I hear is the last part. All you hear is the first part.
Glass half full.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm not calling you naive. I'm just saying like, yeah, that's, it's.
Well, it's also me taking bad notes.
Oh, and wow. Okay. And that is what we call accountability. Just kidding. You don't need to take accountability for bad notes. I'm joking. So no, but that
is what I think I thought I would remember it when I wrote it. And
I
now,
do that all the time, dude. I'm like, I'll remember what I meant by this. And like,
I watched it when we were supposed to record last week, and then I watched it yesterday, but didn't like go take back notes. Over my notes.
Yeah.
So,
Eva. So Blair's so upset. Serena runs after her. Blair's like, stay, I'm leaving. Serena runs after, Serena asks Dan why Blair's so upset. Dan, Blair and Chuck were gonna self-destruct at some point. I may have just helped it along.
Hey, Dan, I'm not in the world of like giving you advice or wanting you to like ever help yourself, but I don't understand why you wouldn't have said that. Are you protecting Vanessa? And like, why didn't you say, well, Vanessa told me she screwed her over, so I thought I wanted to get back at her.
I know, he should have led with that. And then he's like, well, I just found out what they did to Vanessa. And he's like, I don't.
What?
Literally, she's like, okay, well, why didn't you say anything to me? He's like, well, because I don't actually care about Blair. I just, like, I did this for you, but, like, get real. They're not in love. This is so stupid. And Serena's like, I told you to talk to her because I genuinely thought you would help her be brave. And she runs off. Yeah. And actually, Serena is a good friend in this episode.
She says, and I agree, and she also, rare. I think she's really holding a mirror up to Dan and being like, this is how the woman who loved you saw you.
Yeah.
And now,
yeah,
like,
she's never imagined that he would do that. Like, she's just like, it's so, well, that's what's crazy. She's like, that's so unlike him. And I'm like, that's exactly the real like Dan. That's the real Dan. That's the Dan that runs Gossip Girl. And sorry, that's the Dan that grew up with Vanessa's best friend.
Which
like,
is
Vanessa
why it's like so,
pushed him to do that. Like,
it's so annoying how he thinks he's better than his relationship with Serena when like Serena sees him better than. I think even Vanessa would probably tell you he was kind of a. She might not think that the things that he does are shitty, but she's aware that he's doing them.
I feel
they operate
Dan
in the same exact way.
Dan has this like thing of like, Serena, you're on this pedestal, but he actually constantly makes her feel like she has to live up to that. So it's like the opposite. It's like, you think I'm putting you on a pedestal and that's what you can tell everybody, but the truth is, I'm constantly reminding you that I have you on a pedestal so you act right. So you like live up to that.
Exactly.
And it's like manipulative as fuck. And it's Gossip Girl and it's all these things. And like it's moments like this where we see it. So Jenny and Agnes and Max are all hanging out. Max and Agnes are making out. Jenny offers to leave them alone. It's like getting late. No one's coming
Jenny's
over.
Like, I can go. Agnes says, why would we want you to leave?
Why would we want you to leave? Watch. But Agnes gets up and starts dancing to a song. And Max is taking pics. And then Agnes starts taking off her clothes. And tells Jenny to do the same thing.
Picturing this being done with no music on in the background when they shoot it.
Horrific. I need to actually really need to talk to somebody about that because I feel like I hear about some shows where there are songs playing, like maybe more like recent stuff, but like I am dying to know. Like, because like one of my favorite moments of 10 Things I Hate About You is the bloopers reel where we get to see them film that party scene and we see the crazy people dancing and there is no music playing. But that's like, I've seen stuff too where there is. So I'm like, I want to know about that because there are certain scenes that I just feel like it would help me to know how much the actor had to overcome to do that, you know?
Because like this one,
it would help me as the audience member just to know that, you know? So they start taking off all their clothes. I know I skipped a bit, but that's okay.
The guy
and
is taking
Max
pictures.
Max is still taking pictures.
Guys,
this girl is 15 years
this
old.
This is CP.
It literally is. And like, it's, I'm like, also, it's honestly such a dark storyline because like think about like a lot of people get into situations like this and end up fucking trafficked, you know what I mean? Like that's how it happens.
Yes.
And it's like not the people
you
expect.
You think you've met this cool girl,
she comes out of nowhere into your life and blah blah blah, and then boom, like that happens.
And this is where I am disappointed with where the Nate storyline goes, because like Jenny really needs like an objective good opinion in her life, which is what Nate could be. And instead, it has to be like infected with.
I know.
Actually, like, I totally agree. I hate feelings.
It. I hate it. It's a terrible storyline.
So
Nate
then
knocks
we go back
at the door.
Oh, okay.
We'll just go through this, if that's okay. And obviously, Max. I wrote, "Hey Max, stop taking pics," because Max literally Nate opens the door.
Immediately takes pictures of Nate.
Hey, chill, dude. This is the equivalent of a cop showing up here. Okay, like you need to stop. And Nate's like, "Get your stuff and let's go." Agnes immediately embarrassing Jenny in front of Nate, saying, "See, I told you he liked you." Agnes, bad friend. Like again, like that. Those little moments, like bad
friend. Okay, and finally I realize it. Guys, Agnes is kind of a bad friend.
She might be bad news. Okay. She might.
Okay,
just
our
be
mom
bad
was
news.
Right. Okay, our mom was
she,
right.
Okay, I'll give it to her. So Jenny's like, "Well, I'm not leaving with Nate." And he says he'll wait, sits his ass on the couch, doesn't move. So she's like, "Okay, fuck this." And she gets her stuff and they leave. Okay, now we can go back to the Chuck and Dan moment.
Yes. Dan stops Chuck before he leaves and is like, "Okay, look. I totally messed this up. Blair was gonna tell you that she loves you."
Yeah, I told her not to. So, and Chuck literally just gives him a look like, "You will rue this day," and leaves. And then we see Dan.
It's scarier than if he had walked up there and socked him in the face.
No, I'm like, I don't know what's behind that. He's got something to go do right now, but whatever is coming for you, I would be very nervous.
Hey, Dan, you went from him not thinking of you to you being the only thing on his mind.
Someone made a TikTok edit of like interactions between Dan and Chuck where Chuck just like owns him right away. And that's the first one. And it's so good.
It's so good.
So then Dan continues his apology tour, runs after Serena on the street. And she's like furious with him for taking his anger out on Blair. And she's like, "Listen, I don't think this friendship's going to work. Like, you don't talk to me. We don't share anything. And by the way, Aaron asked me out," which, by the way, I would have really loved to talk to you about that because I was really upset because you know how upset I get when people can't just like, it always has to be a romantic connection. You know how hard that is for me. But she's like, "I just wanted to know what you would think." And Dan gives her his blessing.
Didn't need to, but okay.
It didn't need to, but okay. And then Serena has her aha moment where she remembers Cecil the Caterpillar. And do you want to tell the story?
Well, I mean, they knew each other from Camp Swiss.
A camp in Europe, of course. And there was a song about Cecil the Caterpillar. And I guess that was like the song that played when they had a fake wedding with licorice rings on the banks of Lake Geneva. But then she ruined it by taking a bite out of the ring.
Mm.
So now good friend Serena is now over because she was on her way to, I think, chase after Blair. And now, about face,
she's like,
going
"Oh,
for
wait.
Aaron."
Okay, so you're cool if I go fuck tonight. All
right.
Perfect.
Right. Literally. And so Serena turns around and then she sees Aaron coming out of the gallery with another bitch on the back of his motorcycle. They go away.
And she's like, "Wait, Dan, forget everything that I just said. I'm so mad at you. I'm going to talk to Blair."
Yes. I'm going out to Blair. And you know what? Don't tell anyone about this conversation. I'm ashamed I've spoken to you tonight. And she keeps going.
I didn't mean any of it.
I didn't mean any of that. None of that was true. So Blair's in her room and Chuck comes in. And we have a very iconic Chuck and Blair scene. And just Blair, her acting is just like so beautiful. Like the tears just fall so perfectly. It's so gorgeous. He comes in and she says, "Are you here to gloat?" And he says, "Over what? I didn't win." And she says, "Then why does it feel like I lost?" And they realize that they're both afraid that as soon as they say it, it's not going to be the start of Chuck and Blair. It'll be the end. And he's like, "We're not going to like go to the movies and stuff." Like, and she goes, "Well, we can do what we like." And he's like, "This is what we like, the game. And like, it'll just, things will be good. And then like, it'll only be a matter of time before we mess it up. I would rather wait. And then maybe in the future this happens and like, we don't."
This is the best
part
of this. Is a great scene for Chuck.
Yes.
I like that.
And then he kisses her and he pulls away and like a single tear falls down her cheek and he leaves. Oh. It's killer. I mean, this is when we start the real yearning for Chuck and Blair. We just like want them to. They are yearners. They are true yearners, I will say. All right, take our Jenny Nate scene away.
So they finally decide to leave and they go down to the street to go home. And frankly, I blacked out. What do they say? They start freaking kissing.
She's like,
She's yelling at him.
I know what I'm doing. Like, blah, blah. And he says that guy was taking advantage of her. And she goes, you're not my father and you're not my brother. So why do you care so much? And he goes, because. And then she looks at him, grabs him and kisses him, pulls away. He goes, has this crazy breath. He goes, and then she starts to walk away from him like it was a mistake. He grabs her hand, yanks her back. Insane makeout session kiss on the streets of New York. Like Hermione, Finchie, like Harry and Hermione and Harry Potter kind of thing, you know? And they like, ooh, make wait,
that's
animals.
That's kind of how this feels, low key.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Like, it feels like Hermione and Harry.
Like forbidden, like something I shouldn't be seeing. Yeah.
But also imagine how funny it would have been if she's like, why do you care so much? And he like says, because, and she kisses him and then she pulls away and he goes, because I've never had a family before, and it is kind of cool to feel like I have a little sister for once that I can protect.
Like, Jenny, I'm moving out, and I'm actually never going to speak to anyone in your family again, because I obviously, you're getting the wrong message. Imagine how much he could have colossally embarrassed her. Instead, he makes out with her like a free, like it has been pinned up in him for years.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys have like what? Where's all this?
I don't like it.
I don't like it. So that's how we end the episode, if you can imagine that. Oh, and my God.
Next week, we have an episode called There Might Be Blood, Season 2, Episode 9. Serena discovers that Aaron has been keeping a secret from her. I'm like, well, you guys just
how is that possible? Hey, I bet he has a lot of things that you might consider secrets. That there's just right. Things you don't know yet. When you meet someone and they don't immediately tell you their favorite color, that's not a secret they're keeping from you.
From me?
You just haven't learned it yet. That's actually so funny. I know he does have like big secrets, but it is hilarious.
It's like you guys haven't known each other since you were.
And
five.
I bet you don't remember the big secret, which is it's gonna hit you like a ton of bricks when you remember it when it happens.
Can't
it's
wait.
Ridiculous.
Hoping it will help her get into Yale, Blair agrees to babysit the daughter of a prominent donor. Jenny and Agnes plan a guerrilla fashion show.
Wait, this episode is epic. This is an epic episode. Do you remember anything about this?
They
like crash
through
Lily Vanderwoodson's party and throw a fashion show there, and they break all the centerpieces, and they all like get up on the tables at this like soiree that Lily is throwing.
Wait, this is killing me, because this is also, I mean, that's Cruella when Cruella shows up to the fashion show in the trash dress.
Okay, I'm writing a paper on this tonight, five paragraphs at least, and that's not including intro and conclusion. And I'm going to write about the parallels between Little Jay and her bad girl vibe in season 2 and Cruella. Yep,
that movie's so good.
The movie, so we were, Anthony and I were just talking about it too.
I watched it not that long ago because I loved it so much. I hadn't watched it in a while. Really good movie.
It's so good. But the House Bunny clip just came up on my feed. I think I sent it to you guys of Emma Stone. I forgot she was in it. And she's talking to Anna Faris. And she's like, I'm Nicole. And then it's Nicole. And she's like, Lily. And that's what she says. Everyone's there. And they're like, what is that? She's like, oh my God. No, that just helps me remember people's names. Nicole. So fucking funny. But Emma Stone is like, looks, by the way, unrecognizable. The movie is also so good. Anthony and I started watching Superstar last night. If you guys haven't seen Superstar, you should.
That's homework.
It's homework. It's important. It's important. Okay, it just says. All right, well, I think that's everything from us for now. For now, of course. I was thinking for the Caroline show, I'd love for you guys to send me some things you just want me to, like, freaking rant about. Like, just send me a topic. Maybe I'll prepare, maybe I won't.
Fun.
And I'll just let it rip and just, like, go on about it. You know, I think that'd be fun. So if you guys want to comment some rant ideas or message them to me if you want, that's fine, too. Big Brother is well on its way, and it is already, like, such a fun season.
Really good.
Like, its feeds are so fun. I usually by this point in the game, I'm just starting to kind of get into it. I'm like locked in. The drama, this cast is crazy. And it's awesome. Like, it's crazy because we had already seen everything. Like, if you watch live feeds, and by the way, if you're confused about Big Brother, listen to last week's Summer Fridays, because we explained the whole concept of the game and like we're watching it, whatever. But it's like, fuck was I? Oh, typically some episodes can get boring because you've already seen everything if you're watching on the feeds. Somehow these, like, we had seen every moment basically on the feeds, and it was not boring at all to watch it again, edited it together.
When also to get the, normally the diary rooms feel like filler, but I think we're getting so much more information by watching them.
How about Mallory being like so mad that she's not getting invited to the diary room? Who's seen this?
Girl, be fun.
She's like, okay, America doesn't like me. Like, they're never asking me to
what
come
is,
in there.
Okay, this
she's
is something that
whiny,
Big Brother
whiny,
has to,
whiny.
Big Brother has to figure this out. Every show does. It's like Jason's doing the same thing where he's like, they're obsessed with America's opinion of them.
I know. Well, it's because they want America's favorite player.
We, like, but that's where it's like, Caroline, you can't say the word America one time.
Oh, I'm not
in there.
I'm not kidding you. That thought's not in my head.
Because it's like, that's why we like Angela so much, is because she's like earnest, and like, even though she can be annoying, it's like she's not trying to be this character. Yes. Even her monologues that seem cringe and stupid, it's like,
I know.
I genuinely think that they're like, I don't think she's trying to like clip farm.
No, I don't either. I think she's just who she is. She can't help but be who she is. And
whereas,
I love it.
Like, with Jason, and I don't mean to like generalize, but like coming from the drag race world,
yes,
it's a lot of clip farming, and it's a lot of like, I want to say this snarky line, and it in this environment specifically, it comes across as more rehearsed. And pairing that later with what we're seeing on feeds of him like crying because he didn't get the first
I honestly wish that he would have just like if you're going to tell them you're a drag queen, why not just tell them you were on Drag Race? Because at this point, they might understand better and like understand you better. And they also would probably be like, okay, well, then you probably have a big fan base and we should keep you safe.
Yes.
Like, they would really honestly, for you
game.
Specifically, Jason, would have probably really helped your game.
Yes.
You know, but and now if he says it, people borderline might not believe him. You know what I mean? They might be like, okay. Like, I'm just like, because he's acting so crazy.
We hear everybody up in the HOH room later. Yeah, guys, Jason is telling people that he was on Drag Race.
Everyone's like, nope. No, it'd be insane. But like, I literally like, I'm like, if he would just say that, I think I would be like, oh, well, now I know why. Like,
he was looking at it in the way that like, people like Morgan. Even though we did make fun of Morgan for being a gamer and like keeping that a secret and thinking it was going to be some big, like, guys, I'm a gamer.
I know.
It still like made more sense that she would think that that would make her a threat, or like people might want to get her out with that skill set. But this Drag Race is such
a drastically
different game.
It's like, don't tell me you are a
game.
Drag queen, because it's like, now I think you're auditioning for Drag Race.
Well, it's
now
also
I'm
like
the way you're acting, are you trying to get attention so you get on that show?
But also,
if you've already been on it, I think you're immediately more likable to me.
Drag Race,
I mean,
is
obviously, because I love Drag Race, but
it's not really a social game, to be honest.
No.
Like, I mean,
no,
it is to curry favor with like the people watching, but it's not how you win Drag Race.
No,
and like the challenges that you do in the dressing room, other than the stuff that ends up on the stage, it might give you like, it's not like Big Brother at all. So I'm not, if I'm in the Big Brother house and I find out you were on Drag Race, I'm not going to be like, oh.
I'm not worried that you're more of a threat because of it. No, except for your fan base. But it would help you, because I would be like, well, let's just not fuck with them till we have to. And then after a few weeks, when Jason's not winning any of these things that are based on audience votes, I'd be like, okay, I think we're safe, you know, to like eliminate him. But anyway, it's great. So you should definitely tune in, guys, for sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much, and we will see you next week. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
And
I'm just warming us up for
cool
Halloween.
Cool.
And so is Phoebe. Rock on.